I invite you once more to turn to God, and let's pray together. Gracious and almighty God, we have come here to worship you in these days of fear. Some is justified, some is not. We come to you to worship in days when there's all kinds of crazy stuff happening in this world. Especially within our country, we've got people rioting and just breaking stuff, and they're just doing things that are wrong. We ask that you heal this place and give us the knowledge to reach out to others. And as we have read your word, give me words to speak to your people that are pleasing to you, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock, our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. Okay, what's a picnic? You ever hear the expression? Ah, no problem. It'll be a picnic. Right? Anybody here ever plan a picnic? Sometimes it's not that simple. I know that y'all are a bunch of Lutherans. I don't know where you came from, but right now y'all are a bunch of Lutherans. And as I said earlier, Andrea and I are Presbyterian. And when we lived in Minnesota, everybody in Minnesota is Lutheran. You might be a Baptist Lutheran, or a Methodist Lutheran, or a Presbyterian Lutheran, but everybody's Lutheran. You know, we're all kind of hooked together. And that's wonderful in many ways. But Presbyterians and Lutherans have at least one really great thing in common. It is called something that you might have heard of. It's called a potluck. Who doesn't know what a potluck is? Okay. Now, a real potluck is when a group of folks gather together and everybody brings something to share. Now, obviously, you might invite a friend and they don't bring stuff along, but, you know, that's kind of the purpose. But you bring a dish or something you've made to share with them back there. And they bring something to share with you. That's the way it works, right? Potluck. And you just kind of just show up with some food. You say, okay, potluck next Thursday at 6 o'clock, and you show up. That's a potluck. And usually it works out. Sometimes not quite so much. Many years ago, in one of our churches in Minnesota, we had a potluck just like that. It was scheduled for, I don't know, 7 o'clock on a Thursday or whatever. And everybody who showed up, without planning, brought pasta. I'm sure you remember that. I mean, we had pasta salad, we had lasagna, we had stuffed shells, we had, you name it, if it could be made out of pasta, we had pasta. Was there one salad? It was a long time ago. But it worked out. It was great. We all had different kinds of pasta. And if we had planned, I said, okay, let's have a pasta potluck. But no, but it worked out. We even had a pasta casserole, which is called a hot dish, you know, up in the Midwest, and then any of y'all from there. But a few years before that, we had a potluck at a church that we were part of in Deerfield Beach, Florida, which is almost due east of here, church we grew up in. And I made a pot of minestrone soup to bring to this pot. And it was like a 3-gallon pot. Get here? How's that? That more better? Okay. It was like a, my eyes and ears and my best critic right there. And I paid attention. Oh, that was pot. How's that? Is that still good? Okay. I made a 3-gallon pot of minestrone soup. You like minestrone soup? Mm-hmm. If you don't, you gotta try mine. But minestrone soup. I was the only one who brought anything of any substance. Everybody else brought dessert or a light salad or my 3-gallon pot of minestrone soup became the main course. God is good. You're supposed to say all the time when you hear that. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And things worked out, and we had enough of this, that, and the other stuff that my soup turned into a soup meal, and it was great. But I brought it, you know, kind of like as an appetizer. But nobody else brought anything close to a main course. Now, if you decide to have a potluck outside, that's called a picnic. And the same thing kind of goes along that way. People bring stuff, and picnics are really kind of simple. There's a quote that I know every one of you have heard. And it's by somebody that I had to look it up because I had it wrong. I thought it was from Shakespeare. And it's not from Shakespeare. It's from a guy named Giyath al-Din Abul Fath Omar bin Ibrahim al-Nisaburi Kayami. Okay, can you repeat that back to me?
No.
You may know him as Omar Khayyam. And he wrote this group of quatrains of poetry, very short poems, 4 lines each. They put them together, and some English translator called it a rubaiyat. So it's the rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. You've all heard of that, right? Any of you ever read it?
Neither.
You read some parts of it?
Yeah, I think it was Persian.
He was Persian, yeah. Just goes back quite a ways. We call him Iranian today. But he wrote lots of other kinds of stuff. He wrote about geometry, and he wrote about physics and all kinds of stuff. But his poetry was all quatrains. It was these little haiku-ish kind of things, a little 4-line poem. And they put them together, and the most famous of his quatrains is actually 1/4 of it, meaning 1 line. It is the 2nd line of the 12th quatrain in the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. And we know what it is? Oh, come on, don't they teach you people nothing in school no more? Well, you said you've read some, so I bet you do know. But that 2nd line of that 12th quatrain is a jug of bread, a loaf of wine, and you. Not so great. A jug of wine, a loaf of bread, and you've all heard that in some form. That is the perfect definition of your basic picnic. You know, grab a loaf of bread, maybe some cheese, and a bottle of wine. You go outside, you say, that's a picnic, right? All you need is something to drink, something to eat, and somebody to share it with, which is the goal of a potluck. And yes, this is all relevant, by the way. You'll see why. But all of a sudden, the simple loaf of bread and a bottle of wine and 2 people, you need a blanket to sit on. Andrea over there needs her handy can of mosquito repellent. I know mosquitoes love her. If she's around, I don't get bit. And yep, I'm on her. And then all of a sudden, you're going to get fancy and you need plates. And then you need knives and forks. And you can buy picnic baskets. We have one. Hampers, they're called in England. And ours has a serving of 4. I think it's 4 plates and 4 sets of plastic silverware. But if you show up with a picnic basket, who knows what a picnic basket is? You must have spent some time in Jellystone Park at some point in your life, and Yogi Bear was always looking for a picnic basket. Not Yogi Bear, Yogi Bear. And I think he would be very disappointed if he went and snatched a picnic basket that had a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine. Isn't that really a picnic? Well, yeah, it is, right? But it's not what we think about. And some picnics get very ornate and elaborate and nothing but bread and wine? You know what? We're going to get to that later. Bread and wine. Picnics can be, and probably should be, fairly simple affairs. The whole bread, wine, and use guys kind of a thing. But have you ever planned a picnic? Like a wedding picnic, you know, outside kind of thing? It has to be perfect. The plates have to match. You've got to have, your blanket has to. 4th of July picnic. You got a red, white, and blue blanket, right? Your dishes, every other one is red, white, or blue. It's all coordinated. If you get really nuts, even your food is red, white, and blue. Although blue food is kind of short. But then you get somebody who gets a real control freak and they say, okay, you bring beans, you bring cornbread, you bring the deviled eggs, and you get the ham, and this guy, he'll barbecue up some ribs, and you know, he gets whatever. The last church of which we were a part, whenever we did any kind of a potluck, they had the congregation broken up into alphabet, like A to J. You know, it would end up with like D to Z. And the first one would bring the main course. One of the ones in the middle would bring a side dish. Someone would bring a dessert. And that way you always made sure you had everything. Kind of takes away some of the fun. It takes away the unexpectedness. It takes away from, you know, it gets so bad, you've got somebody who goes out and rents a porta potty. Sometimes things get so organized it drives me nuts. But then you got this guy named Jesus. Jesus, son of Joseph, son of Mary. You ever heard of him? Sometimes we stick Christ on his name. He's like our Lord and Savior and stuff like that. In fact, this is our Savior. Church, right? It's in him. Jesus comes along in our story today. And as I said, he had just heard about John the Baptist being executed, and he was not happy about it. Aside from the big picture, John the Baptist was his cousin. Jesus didn't say, okay, let's have a picnic. Let's have a party and celebrate. Now, as Christians, we should know that you can have a party when somebody dies. In some ways, the Irish have it right when they have a wake. You know, you celebrate somebody's life because dying is not the worst thing that can happen to a Christian by any stretch of the imagination. But Jesus wasn't doing that. He didn't plan on a potluck or a picnic. He just wanted to get away someplace where he could grieve. Gotta remember, Jesus was God. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus was a human man. Amen?
Amen?
At the same time. So he had emotions. He liked people. He didn't like people. He got upset and he grieved John's death. So he tried to get away, but like it always happened, people found him. They followed. And they found him. And just like today, Jesus taught them. He put aside his own grief feelings, and he sat down in a field with 5,000 men, plus women and children. Think about it. Your average person, male person, Jewish type in that day and time, would have been married. Okay? So you got to figure for every 5,000 men, this could be 5,000 wives. And conservatively, this could be at least one kid per couple. You're talking about 15,000 people at a minimum. I'd like to have a picnic for 15,000 people. When you found out about it 10 minutes ago. No. But Jesus taught them. And the people of the countryside just showed up. Nobody gave them a list of what to bring. They didn't sign up by alphabet. They didn't just bring what they wanted to. They just showed up because they were excited about hearing about Jesus. Have you ever been so excited about something that you left the house and you left something behind that you knew you should have brought with? Well, I do things like that all the time, it's because I'm just forgetful and I forget to bring it with me. But these people, they heard about Jesus, and they just went. And if you remember when Jesus called his first disciples, what does it say? They left their nets behind and followed. That's what these people did around the small villages of the town. There's God, but they came. And Jesus thought. And they came, and they saw him, and they heard him. Eventually, though, time goes by, things start winding down. Maybe even Jesus got tired of talking. Again, he was a man. I can imagine he'd like to pick up his cup of coffee. See a dry mouth. Didn't have coffee, but you know, take a shot of wine or water or what have you. But eventually, unlike some preachers who don't know when to stop, we all fall into that category sometimes. If I get there, you holler at me. They were hungry. Jesus came to a break, a stopping point, and they were hungry, and they wanted to be fed. Have you ever been to a Christian conference of any kind anywhere? Whether it was a Beth Moore thing, or whether it was a synod meeting or anything like that, you know. You go there and there isn't any coffee. There ain't no donuts. Not a single Danish to be found. People are gonna get rowdy because you expect that. Whether they charge you for it or not, you expect to go to one of these conferences to be fed. And the same thing here. The people wanted a picnic. They wanted feeding. They got the spiritual feeding from Jesus talking. But then, they wanted food. They wanted their bread and their wine. Now here's something odd about me. There's many things odd about me, but this is one about me. Is I'm not real big on eating. I only like to eat when I'm hungry. And everyone will tell you, it drives her nuts. Right? She forces me to eat after. Because if I'm doing something, I'll not eat for a couple days sometimes. I don't even notice it. But these people, even though they were fed spiritually, they were getting ready to eat. They were hungry. They'd been fed by Jesus for hours, but now they wanted more. And again, we all know that when we do get hungry, and yes, I do get hungry, when you get this overpowering hunger, what happens? Everything else gets shoved in the back. You see these commercials for a candy bar? And one of them has Betty White in it, and she's like playing football or something, and she's always getting tackled, and they give her this candy bar to get the sticker commercial. And she turns, and she eats this candy bar, and she turns into a big hulking guy, like Dean. And it says, like it might have been Dean. And they said, you know, you're not yourself when you're hungry, or something like that. And it's true. But they complain. They want to eat. So the disciples are the ones they complain to, and they want to be fed now! Can't pick up the phone and call Domino's and have them deliver pizza. And regardless of what they learned from Jesus, they want to eat now. Does that sound familiar to you? When people all of a sudden just start demanding something? And it might not be food. I mean, it might not be something they want to eat. It's just something that's going on that they want it now that they expect it to be. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? When Mary was sitting at feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. And Martha was being the good Jewish woman out in the back, cooking, cleaning, all this kind of stuff. And what did Jesus say? Mary picked the better part, being fed spiritually more so than physically. But again, at another place, Jesus said man does not live by bread alone, reminding us how important it is to have that spiritual feeding. And if you do not get spiritually fed, it doesn't matter how much good food you eat, you're not going to do well. But in any case, Jesus says, okay, we'll fix this problem. They gathered up the 5 and the 2, and Jesus blessed them and spread them out. Jesus fed 15,000 people. Five chunks of bread and a couple of fish. Now those loaves were the size of Tropicana Stadium, and if the fish were blue whales, well, maybe that would happen. But no, that doesn't happen. And there were leftovers. You ever have leftovers in your house? We have leftovers all the time. We turn them into soup. But you know, nothing gets backed into a strong soup. We get full circle. Jesus is here with 15,000 people. And it's interesting that it says 5,000 men, and this translation is besides women and children. It really means and women and children. It's interesting that Matthew is written for a Jewish audience, and they are including women and children who mean nothing. When it gets right down to it, in the Jewish culture, but you know what? It means something to Jesus. They mean something to Jesus, which is why he says, let the little kids come over here and I'll bless them. Which is why he says to Martha, Mary picked the better part. Women and children count. And Matthew knew that. And so put it in there. So Jesus has fed these. And even as those multitudes were fed 2,000 plus or minus years ago, Jesus is still doing it today. And in just a minute or three, we're going to be fed by Jesus. I hope this gospel message has fed you. I hope I've said some things that have, even one thing, that has piqued your imagination, given you a new insight about what was going on in this world of Jesus. And that this was not just your ordinary picnic with the loaf of bread and the jug of wine and company. This was